Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about something that's between your ears. It's called your brain. And there's a lot of commentary that can be made about that particular organ in our body, but I think we're going to be discussing it in a way and manner that you're going to realize how much you can empower yourself via the brain. We have a guest today, Spencer Lord. This is a gentleman that's traveled around the world. His book, The Brain Mechanic, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy for Everyone. He believes that we should go after the maximum mental emotional health quotient, which I agree with. Welcome to the show, Spencer.
Thank you, Donna. It's really great to be here.
I was intrigued with the fact that you traveled extensively through Asia and you taught ESL, and you'll be able to give us more information about that. And you also worked for Mother Teresa in Calcutta, India, and that apparently was the component that sparked your interest in psychology.
Yeah, that's right. I first left right after University of Chicago. In Chicago, I headed off to Asia, and I was first in Thailand, and then I spent 6 months in Indonesia, and then I finally made my way to India, and I landed in Calcutta, and got in a taxi cab, and he took me. I asked, "Where is Mother Teresa, or can you see her, or is she in India even?"
Mm-hmm,
and he drove me down to 54A Lower Circular Road in Calcutta, and let me out of the cab, and I walked down an alley, and I saw a door there, and there's a little door frame. It says Mother Teresa MC, Missionaries of Charity. And I knocked on the door, and a sister answered, and I didn't even know. I thought, you probably can't even meet her. I said, "Well, is she in India? Can you schedule an appointment?" And she said, "No, come on in and sit down. She'll be down at 5:00. And I couldn't believe it. I walked into the mother house, into a place called the parlor, a little room with a little table and some cups of chai and some plastic chairs, and I sat down in the parlor, and I waited about 3 hours, and sure enough, 5:00 rolled around, and here she came, walking down the steps, and there, by that time, about 15 people had assembled there. One of the editor of Der Spiegel was there, and a whole bunch of people had come in, and sure enough, she came down, and she passed out what she calls her business card, which was a little card with a prayer on it, and a little St. Teresa medallion, and she said, and she told some of the young-looking volunteer types, she said, "The Lord sent you here to work for me." And I thought, wow. Well, I had a two-week ticket return, but I figure after that, how are you going to argue with her?
So many
months later, I had worked at Shishubhawan and Kaligat and Nirmal Hriday and several of her operations there in Calcutta, and it was the beginning of a long friendship, and she was really my first friend in India. So, and now I just came back from another four-month trip to India because it's really close to my heart, and I love being there.
Well, this is a fascinating story to me because Mother Teresa was anything but a wimpish female.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Powerhouse of a woman.
That's right.
I mean, she was tiny
right.
little person.
Correct.
But she really had a passion, and I never met this wonderful woman, but she was a no-nonsense kind of person, from what I understand. She was just a straight shooter, and by golly, if she set her mind to something, she went after it.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. And one good example would be, she asked the Pope. She said, "Listen, you got all that space at the Vatican. What are you doing for homeless and poor people and hungry people in Rome?
Mm-hmm.
You need to open some of it up." And it was a lot of people thought that was an outrage, but she sort of shook her finger in his face, and before you knew it, they had a functioning soup kitchen at the Vatican feeding the poor. So,
well,
she really was a force of nature.
Yeah, she wasn't wrong, because the wealth of the Vatican is just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's staggering.
And she was a woman that was a demonstrator of what could be done. That's what made her create such a difference. Because she walked the walk. She talked the talk, but she walked the walk. And that is just incredible. And I think that her commitment and her dedication and her sincerity and her caring and her practicality, all of those components made her just an incredible human being. And she'd just look at him and say, excuse me, but we come in two genders, male and female, and who do you think you are?
Right. Exactly.
There's no nonsense here with her. It's just like, forget it. I don't care whether you had your face lifted or anything else.
That's
lifted.
Right.
It doesn't
That's
make
right.
any difference.
Right.
This
she
is
sure,
the reality.
She had sort of supernatural eyes. You know, she saw through the material world and saw something else going on. And
she
the
did.
Reason you notice probably I credit her in my acknowledgments of the book as
mm-hmm.
being hugely responsible is because what she, you know, sort of the business she dealt in next to charity was beliefs. She was
right.
the belief woman. Beliefs mm-hmm. are what drove everything she did. She had really strong beliefs. And as you know now from, you know, studying a little bit about cognitive therapy in the book, cognitive therapy gets down into the realm of beliefs, and it works very specifically with people's beliefs and belief systems. And at the time I was in India with Mother Teresa, I knew clearly beliefs are very powerful, but I
mm-hmm.
didn't quite understand how powerful they were until years later when I started studying cognitive therapy. And then it hit me sort of out of the, you know, in a huge way, I realized, okay, I see now what she was working with and the power of what she was working with, because
mm-hmm.
beliefs really are important, and we'll get into that more as we talk.
Yes, we will, and that really is so significant. So many of us, and I'll include myself when I'm saying this, we do not become mindfully present about why we have certain beliefs. And
right.
then when we come in contact with different cultures, for example, you're being in India, there are so many different belief systems in India, and there have been wars over them. And I think of Gandhi and what he
That's
went
right.
through.
That's
and
right.
He was one of the things that, one of the components, and it was due primarily to his wife. He said, he credited his wife. He said, she taught me about nonviolence.
That's right. Yes, nonviolence is a powerful belief system.
It is absolutely incredible.
And it translated over to Martin Luther King, or Jr.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. And Gandhi literally moved emotional mountains within
That's
his
right.
culture. And it made me sort of sad when I heard someone say, oh, it was about a year or so ago, I was watching a program, and they said it saddened them to see how hard Gandhi had fought in India and yet how much had slid backwards. But the truth is, Gandhi's work went around the world. It did
That's
not
right.
just
he,
stay
it was
in India.
Exported. That's right. It was exported
mm-hmm.
all over the world. And still
so
is powerful in social movements today. It's still a powerful influence in political and social movements.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. It's an incredible story. If any of you listening have never read Gandhi's story or the book The Forbidden Woman, which was written by her grandson, it's just absolutely incredible how Mrs. Gandhi really was the primary influence for him to do what he did. But let's get back to this cognitive model, because belief systems. I mean, we have so much going on in the world today. I said war today, because there are wars all over
That's
the
right.
planet. And the wars are based on perception, on belief systems.
Belief
whether
systems.
Whether it's a dictator, whether it is a grandma down on a corner.
Absolutely.
It is all of this. And, you know, you'd think we human beings would wake up. I mean, sometimes I am so appalled at what people do to people. You look at history,
right.
you look at what's going on today, and I go, excuse me, what's the deal here? Why can't we communicate? Let's not try to possess each other. Let's just look at how we can make this world a better place. I know people are
right.
going to say, Donna, you're being Pollyannish. This is so ridiculous. This is the reality. But let's get back here to the cognitive thing that you're talking about, because it is beliefs and fear associate plus belief systems
right.
that create the havoc.
Yeah,
so
well,
let's
and you
get
you
into
said
this
it.
A little bit.
Political systems, especially, that's one of the broadest and best examples of belief systems. You know, we talk about India, colonialism, that's a belief system. Communism, a belief system. Capitalism, a belief system. Liberation, a belief system. These are all belief systems. We're watching belief systems, you know, reshaping sort of a large part of the Middle East right now and part of Africa right now, too, which is interesting. But the cognitive model, yeah, what's really important is about beliefs is basically, I'll just describe, you know, what cognitive therapy holds, which is most people have always thought that events in their life cause them to have emotional responses, that mm-hmm. something happens and that causes an emotional response. They lose their keys and they get sad about it or frustrated. They, or their dry cleaning is late, they get angry, they miss a dinner reservation, they get angry, whatever. People believe that events cause these things. But you start to study cognitive therapy, what you realize is that there's actually, it isn't a direct causation. There's something in between an event and an emotional response, which is the belief or in a belief system, but specifically in different instances, it's individual beliefs. So that it actually isn't anything that happens to you in life, but it's what you think about it or your opinion about it that is what causes your emotional response. And the simplest way to sort of describe that concept is I use this example that, let's say that two neighbors, one neighbor is supposed to go golfing on Saturday morning and the other guy next door is supposed to go to work on Saturday morning and doesn't want to. They both wake up Saturday morning to a torrential rainstorm. One of them's going to be really happy because he gets out of going to work. The other's going to be really, or snowstorm or whatever, going to be really, frustrated or angry because he can't go golfing. Now, it would mm-hmm. be absurd to assert that the rainstorm can cause one person to be happy and one person to be sad. So what that demonstrates is clearly there's something else at play, or every stimulus would cause the same emotional response. But every stimulus doesn't. The exact same stimulus in 100 different people will cause 100 slightly different emotional responses, and some of them will be like radically different. So that's what the first time you think about that, it's sort of a light bulb goes on, and you realize, aha, you're right. The stimulus doesn't cause the same emotions in all these different people. So what's actually causing it? Well, it's a combination of the stimulus and what you believe about the stimulus. And when you put those two things together, you get an emotional response. And now once people understand that it's an event plus a belief that equals an emotion, then you go to the next step, which is really the most powerful part of cognitive therapy, which is that belief in the middle can be changed, that we have power to change our beliefs, and that mm-hmm. once you really start to study it, most people realize they can believe anything they want to, and that it's an irrational belief in the middle that causes a dangerous or negative emotion, and it's a rational belief that causes a non-destructive emotion. So that belief, so now that we've talked about beliefs, the really cool thing about beliefs is people can change them, that you can believe anything you want to. So.
Mm-hmm. I think that, again, you have to be mindfully aware.
Correct.
And you have to be awake. That's
right.
How I like to say it. You have to be awake.
Yeah, that's an excellent word.
Mentally have your eyes open.
Right.
Because we all have, societally and otherwise, responses that we're supposed to have. Reminds me of a movie. I never saw the movie, but it was about a woman in Australia that was accused of murdering her own child. It was something her child was eaten by a wild animal, and because she didn't cry. She
oh, that's right. I've heard of this. I haven't seen it either, but I've heard of
it. I haven't seen the movie, but I heard of it, and I thought, isn't that amazing? Because this woman had been raised with this. And I think of when I was a little girl, I was told that there was a Cherokee woman that had married into our family.
Right.
And that her face was like stone. You never knew what she was thinking. Well, this was her culture. She came from that. The Native Americans were taught that life, you didn't wear your emotions on
right.
your face.
Very
you
stoic.
You were stoic. You if life was tough, okay, fine. You had to be tougher. They came from a different kind of a belief system. And I'll never forget that when I was a little girl, I thought, wow, that's really amazing. Nobody knew what she was thinking because she did not really let her emotions show in her face. And people were intimidated by that because you, if nothing else, you were supposed to pretend.
Correct.
And it depends on, again, on your environment. You bring that out so clearly. And having come in contact with different cultures, and I'm not saying I've met all of them through the world, I have not, but in the various cultures I've encountered, I find that fear is fear, no matter what culture you've got. Ignorance
right.
is ignorance, no matter what culture you're in. Superstitions and distortions are everywhere. So
yeah.
to have clarity with yourself, whoa.
Right,
I mean,
you're right.
That's almost terrifying to someone who doesn't.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right about that. I mean, I think wakefulness, mindfulness, those are really important because, you know, until people identify the beliefs that are dangerous beliefs they have about events in life, they're not going to be able to change them. So, yeah, the mindfulness part is really the first step in being aware of your thought processes and thinking about what you're thinking about and thinking about what your belief system is that can teach you, that is the first step in teaching people how they're going to respond to things. And that's the step down the road to changing. And changing mm-hmm. and healing is, as you know, the most important part.
Oh, it's just tremendous. And I think integrity with itself is absolutely amazing. I loved your section about politicians.
Thank you.
You've got to share this with my audience, because I know of people that will sit in front of television and they'll watch these political shows and they're talking to themselves. They're, you know, really
yes.
upset with a person on television.
Throwing the remote control.
I mean, jeez. And
right.
I'm going, please, can't you change the channel? I'd like to watch a cooking show.
Right. Go to Food Network.
Let's see how we can make quesadillas or something
yeah.
here.
That's right.
But I'd love for you to tell your personal story about politicians, because I think it's so appropriate for
this. Of course. You know,
that's,
I'm glad you asked me, because this was my breakthrough. This is when I realized that CBT holds some really powerful answers. CBT is, of course, cognitive behavioral therapy. The day I realized, I had been studying it for about a year, and the day I realized it was incredibly powerful, as I was watching TV, and there was a politician on, and that politician, every time I had heard the voice, I used to say it made me angry. Now I know it didn't make me angry, but every time I would hear it, I would respond in anger, and I would get, mm-hmm. like you said, mumble at the television, toss the remote control, fix the things, turn it off, holler at somebody on the phone about it. And so, but then I thought, wait a minute, one day, I thought, here I am studying these skills about how, CBT is best for anger management. I mean, that's what it's used, that's what its absolutely most powerful application is, anger management. So I thought, I'm studying these tools that are supposed to, you know, be able to manage anger, and here every time this politician's voice comes on, I respond with, I start to sweat with anger. So I thought, now let me think about this. What the model says is that the stimulus can't actually cause my anger, that it's my belief about it. So I thought, okay, well, the voice that I'm hearing that I had beforehand thought made me angry, I thought, let's think about, is there any circumstance in which that same stimulus, the sound of the voice, would cause a different emotion than anger? And I thought, if my belief about that voice isn't, oh, when this person talks, they go up in the polls, and the people I like go down in the polls, and what if they win, and all this other stuff tied to the real world, I thought, an imaginary scenario, and it's absurd, but it's important, because imagination is important. I thought, what if I got a phone call? Somebody said, hi, we're from the Saturday Night Live show, and we want to make fun of this one politician, and we know you really can't stand the sound of their voice, so we want to pay you $100,000, and we're going to send you to write a skit that's based on how they talk, and we're going to send you 6 hours of videotape, and we want you to study this politician's voice very carefully, and we're going to pay you $100,000 to then write something funny that makes fun of them based on the way they talk. And I thought, wait a minute, that's a powerful idea, because what that means is that under the right circumstances, that voice alone wouldn't cause me anger, that I could actually sit there. And I thought, well, what if that happened? And I sat there and I would listen. And the more I listened, the more I would listen to the inflection and the tone and everything. I thought, ooh, you could make fun of this and you could make fun of that. And wouldn't that be interesting? And then that really, that afternoon, Dono, that was a breakthrough for me, because because all of the anger, every time the voice came on TV, the anger melted out of my spine. I felt relaxed. I listened even more intently. I would turn up the volume and think about it in this different way. And that is the exact cognitive model at work, which is the realization that the actual stimulus, that the event that's happening, the sound of the voice, can't cause an emotional response by itself, that you have to add something to the event. I had to add something to the voice of the politician, which was my belief about that voice. And when you add your beliefs to an event in the world, then you get an emotional response. And mm-hmm. the irrational belief I used to ascribe to it was, oh, the more this person talks, the higher they go in the polls, and the lower my fan, you know, the lower the people I like go. That's nonsense. I gave that belief up and thought, you know what? There's plenty of circumstances in which this same exact event could cause a neutral emotion or even a positive emotion in me. And that's the day I had a breakthrough. And I started then looking at the entire world a different way. And as you know, in the book, I developed something called the alternate positive scenario, which means anything that you say is causing you to be angry or causing you to be anxious, if you'll get creative in your mind and think about and come up with an imaginary scenario in which that exact same event or stimulus wouldn't cause a negative response but would actually make you feel neutral, then you've discovered the magic in the cognitive model, because then you don't have to believe any of that will ever happen. I'm not saying to think they're going to call you up to give you money to do a show. That's absurd. But just the thought exercise makes you realize that actually it isn't connected, and that you can disconnect them by changing your beliefs and thinking about another scenario in which you wouldn't have this really negative, destructive response to something. Because actually, you know what I realized that afternoon after that happened, and I sat there and listened to the voice over and over, and I didn't feel any anger? I realized I was making myself angry. The politician had no power to make me angry. I was making myself angry. And that's a huge breakthrough. That's what cognitive therapy teaches us. We make ourselves anxious. We make ourselves angry. We make ourselves depressed and worry and guilt and fear and all these emotions, panic, rage, frustration. We cause those things in ourselves because we have rigid or inflexible beliefs about the events that happen in life. But we're never going to have control over the events in life. So if we're going to get any relief, we got to change ourselves, not the world.
I think that when you can change yourself and become awake, then what happens is the world does change.
You're right. You're right. It's absolutely
the
right.
The world does change.
Yeah, that's right. Because you respond to it. That's right. Because once you respond to it differently, it responds back to you differently. So you're absolutely right. You do change the world by changing your beliefs, because it changes your relationship to the world. So you're absolutely right about that.
There's just these perspectives. Of course, we all have bad hair days. That's what I call it, being a female. We all have bad hair days where we don't get enough sleep, and it seems like, or maybe we got a toothache, or we look at people and say, just, you know, it's like a Clint Eastwood special. It's like, make my day. I would just love to shred you for the next, you know, barbecue that is coming up.
Exactly.
I mean, we all have days like that. So they happen. However, when we can become aware, let's say somebody's in a lousy job, and in their mind, it's a lousy job.
Right.
And they just think, oh, this is terrible. And someone says to them, but you should be grateful. There's a lot of people that don't have a job. They go, well, it's a terrible job. I got a terrible boss. I got this and that and that. If they can create a mind shift where they can appreciate where they are and start preparing themselves for the next level they want to go into, they're going to be a winner. They're taking that energy and restructuring it and putting it into another level. Now, you bring out something in the book that I thought was interesting. You said I'm going to use it. This is really cool. You must get rid of must.
Oh, yes. 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 Get rid of. There is no such thing as must. Yeah. There were only a few exceptions, but they're at the very end, and they're really and they're really immaterial compared to the big concept, the metaphoric concept of must. Yeah, that's and that came from, you know, some of the grandfathers and grandmothers of cognitive therapy, Judith Beck and Albert Ellis and Aaron Beck and David Burns. You know, Albert Ellis actually had a funny word. He called it masturbation. People's constant focus on must. And the danger in it is a lot of people, when they think there are musts that they have to do, must can cause anger when it's about other people, and it can cause anxiety when it's about you. People think, oh, well, the waiter must come back every time I look in his direction, or he's no good, or I must lose another 10 pounds before the high school reunion, or I'm going to be thought of as a failure, and must. There are all these musts we have in life, and when you really start to put them, you start to analyze them logically, there really aren't very many musts. Most of the things that we think we, quote, must do are actually things we choose to do, and actually there is virtue in choosing to do these things. Be a good employee, be a good parent, be a good child to your, you know, your family or to your parents, be a good parent to your children. All these things you must. Well, actually, nobody has to do those things. There's no must in it. We are these things and we behave in these ways because it's virtuous and it's good and it's positive and there's an upside and we benefit from it. But the idea of must, when applied to all these little things in life that really are irrational to believe must happen, are dangerous, and they can cause dangerous emotional responses. So, yeah, once people start to learn that all the musts they feel about their dry cleaning being late and, you know, little things about appearance and the, you know, the bad hair day and everything, a lot of people are suffering from anger, anxiety, rage, panic, because of these musts, these irrational musts about things in life. And if people would shift that must into should, it's a whole lot safer emotionally. Because, yeah, absolutely, the should, you bet. You know, somebody should do this, somebody should do that, I should do this, I should do that. But the must is just a way to, a lot of times, end up with a dangerous negative emotion.
You have two... Well, one's a Nobel laureate, Dr. Eric Kendall, and also
yes.
Dr. Eric Byrne. And I want to use both of their quotes. Dr. Eric Kendall is one of the many neuroscientists in your book to prove
Correct.
That cognitive processes can literally, physically, alter the shape of the structures in the brain. And then the psychiatrist, Dr. Eric Byrne, said the destiny of every human being is decided by what goes on inside his skull when confronted with what goes on outside his skull.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
Boy, that's a powerful one. That really is. And the great thing about that is that summarizes cognitive therapy, because it's true. There is a world that exists inside your skull. It's all of the metaphysical, internal, you know, psychological aspects of you and personality and, you know, irrational things, emotions, feelings, complex emotions. And then there's a world that goes on outside your skull, which is the material world, physical world, bound by physical laws and all that other stuff and science and whatnot. And you know, sociology, what happens with people around you. And when what's inside your head confronts what's in the world, that's
mm-hmm.
that decides how those two interface, decides your destiny or how well you do in life. And what's important about that quote is that the interface between the internal world and the external world is your belief system. Gandhi, the interface between what was in Gandhi's skull and what was happening in India was what he believed. The interface between what's in Mother Teresa's head and all of her and all of the world around her was her belief system. And with you, it's your belief system. Me, we all have a belief system that determines how we respond and interact with the world. And if you have an irrational and dangerous belief system, you will respond and interact with the world in a dangerous and destructive way. If you have a rational belief system, you will respond and interact with the world in a healthy way and in a productive way. And most people are a combination. You know, there's no such thing as 100% on either. Most of us are a big, big jumble of some rational and some irrational, depending on what time of day you catch us and in
mm-hmm.
what circumstance you catch us. But yeah, that Byrne quote really is terrific, because it summarizes these two worlds we live in. You live in a world inside your head. The best example is when you lay your head down and go to sleep and close your eyes. You're in a dream, you know, you go into this dream world, and that's a really, you know, that's a world, but only you're in it. And then you wake up and you're back in this world. So the thing that's between those is your beliefs. And the other great thing you said is, yeah, Kendall, he is, you know, Nobel laureate. He's terrific. He actually is one of the first to prove in laboratories, and since it's been confirmed, you know, repeatedly, countless times, they've now demonstrated that thinking, changing your belief systems and your thought processes, physically changes the shape of the neurons in your brain. And you can alter the shape of structures, of miniature structures, that then translate into macro structures in your brain by thinking. So a lot of people can, you know, have this idea that thoughts are just these disembodied, you know, ghost-like things in the ether, that it's a concept, it's a psychological concept, a thought. Well, no, a thought is actually an electrical impulse, and it's being transmitted through a chemoelectrical circuit called a neuron. And as you change what you think, everybody listening to me talking and to you talking right now, and they hear your voice and they know Donna Sebo is saying this and that, and that's going into their memory, that's making tiny little microscopic changes in neurons that are going to remember what you've said. Well, the more you change that, the more you learn, the more you change what you believe, and the more work you do on your thought processes, you actually literally are rewiring your brain. So, you know, you're getting the same effect through a long process of cognitive therapy that, you know, you would get if somebody popped your skull open and, you know, went in there with wires and scalpels and whatever and actually changed things. So it's not a disembodied thing, a thought. It actually has, you know, it's like if your people were cars and your brain's your engine. I mean, you know, through cognitive therapy, you can actually go inside under the hood and change spark plugs and, you know, and hoses and tubing and wiring without even opening the hood. And that's a really important concept because people need to know this isn't just about, oh, I'm going to change the way I think. When you change the way you think long enough, you actually change the machine that does the thinking. And that's really huge.
Well, Spencer, we are out of time. It's
half
hour.
Oh, my goodness,
gone
it went
by
so fast. I could talk all day.
I know. There's so much here. For those of you listening, you can go to his website, brainmechanicbook.com, brainmechanicbook.com.
Right. Or they can Google it if they don't remember that. Google Brain Mechanic.
Just Google Brain Mechanic. Spencer, your book is terrific, and for those of you listening, there are exercises that he has in the book. But I think just with what he shared today, there is so much there just to absorb. I congratulate you on putting together such a finely condensed and efficiently well-written, personable explanation of cognitive therapy, because I think it is really a wonderful, wonderful bit of information to absorb and learn. Spencer Lord has been my guest. This is Donna Sebo. The book is The Brain Mechanic. Spencer, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Donna. I hope to talk to you again.
Yes, sir. So do I. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
It's time to get your glow on at the Northwest Women's Show, a show that's all about you. 400 exhibits, 4 entertainment stages, fascinating seminars, and best of all, shopping, shopping, shopping. New this year is the Glow Experience. 5 fun and easy steps to help you make the most of your time at the show. Meet Terry Haas from HGTV's Design to Sell. Polly Klein, famous animal communicator. Dance diva Chris Linares, who will help you unleash all the power you need to dance your own dance. Plus fun and trendy fashion shows from JCPenney, favorite authors Anne and Leslie Rule. And they're back! Seattle's hottest firefighters. Bring your mom, your daughter, your sister, your friends. The Northwest Women's Show, sponsored by Drugstore.com, American Family Insurance, BECU, Como TV, Beauty.com, and Green Smoke. It's electric. Get your glow on at Questfield Event Center March 4th through 6th. The Northwest Women's Show, it's such a girl thing. For show information, go to nwwomenshow.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Man, oh man, are we getting snow here in the Pacific Northwest. It has just been amazing. This morning, when I got up to go out to work, the snow had covered everything, and right at this moment, it is just coming down abundantly. This storm is massive, so apparently it's going to be heading across the country, hitting a lot of different states. They had said it was going to start in the northwest, and boy, it is, and day after tomorrow it'll all be gone because the temperatures are going up as the storm passes through. But we have just got an incredibly magnificent, beautiful sight all around us. What amazes me is how the birds are out, even hummingbirds are out. I'm just absolutely astonished. The creatures in nature are really amazing. We have deer in the area, and they're under shelter, I'm sure, right now because this storm just came back in and is dumping currently a bunch of snow on it. But, oh, it's just incredibly gorgeous. Like I said, we enjoy it when we have it because it's going to be gone pretty quickly. I wanted to follow up because of our guest today with a quote that I came upon that I really, really liked. Because how we think determines how we're going to feel. And you can take a worst-case scenario, and if you take the power of yourself in the moment, you can turn it into something that can really benefit your life in a very special way. It all depends on how you think about something. But this is by Grenville Kleiser, and I really liked it. This is what Grenville said. He said, "Be grateful for the joy of life. Be glad for the privilege of work. Be thankful for the opportunity to give and serve. Good work is a great character builder, the sweetener of life, the maker of destiny. Let the spirit of your work be right, and whether your task be great or small, you will then have the satisfaction of knowing it is worthwhile." I think so often we get stuck in our thinking. We really don't pay attention to the infrastructure of life and what makes life so very, very unique and very special. And whether it's between ourselves and the earth or between us and them, whoever them might be, life is all interconnected. And when you can see that, when you can really, really see it, you will understand that who you are does make a difference. How you live your life, how you conduct yourself, the actions that you put out in front of people, it's really quite special. And then you'll find that you don't want to copy anybody else. You really want to find out who you are. And believe me, it's a lifelong journey. It is not something that you're going to get in 30 seconds or less. Because there are so many levels to us as human beings. There are so many parts of us that we need to learn to discover and to enjoy. And all of that takes time. So as you go about your day, wherever you are, if you're in the Pacific Northwest and you're looking outside and you're going, oh, this snow, be grateful that you have a shelter. Be grateful you have food for your stomach. Be grateful that you have the technology that enables you to communicate with anybody around the world. It can be storming outside, and yet you're able to do this. We're able to broadcast to you because of technology. And I couldn't do this without the people at BBS Radio. It wouldn't happen. So we all are interconnected, and I wouldn't do a show if I didn't have an audience. So there you go. You're important. What you're doing, whether you're dealing with animals, whether you're raising a family, whether you're trying to build a business, whether you're going through challenges, no matter what it is, whatever you are in the moment, how you work with it, how you deal with it, is going to determine how life evolves for you. You heard me say at the end of the show, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. That is what that means. It means that you have choices. We always have choices. And what are you going to do with those choices? How are you going to make those choices? And what is the feeling and purpose? Are you going to be awake when you make your choices, or are you going to be a sleepwalker? Fascinating perspective, isn't it? Oh, I've got to share with you today a story about a woman. I came across this, and I just loved it. I said, this woman really puts something together. It's just absolutely terrific. By the way, if you want to call me, the number to call is 888-815-9756. for those of us that have always dealt with the battle of the bulge, I don't know. I think once you get hardwired into your brain that you've got to be a size 2 or whatever it is that you think you want to be, well, by golly, you're always looking at all the diets that come out. Isn't it amazing how many of them there are out there? It's just incredible. Well, this woman had a particular potato diet. Yes, 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 I know. There was this guy that went on a potato diet for so many months, he lost 50 pounds and this kind of thing. No, 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 no. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just potatoes diet. You've got to hear this story. It's absolutely marvelous. There is this a woman, and she's just a delightful lady. Her name is April Knight. And she shared this story in Chicken Soup for the Soul, Shaping the New You. And I just thought it was absolutely priceless. I just loved it, so I'm going to be sharing it with you today. April was at a function, and someone shared a photograph with her, and she asked the question, who's the fat lady sitting next to Uncle John? Well, as it turned out, she was with an aunt at this particular function, and her aunt turned around and looked at her, and she said, it's you. And she was stunned. She had not seen a picture of herself, and she said, holy Moses, I don't believe that that's me. Now, she had gained 50 pounds over a 2-year period. She said she knew she was having for trouble because diabetes and heart problems run in her family, and my goodness, when she went into her doctor, her doctor said, you're 2 pounds away from being obese because you eat too much and you don't do any exercise, lose weight or die. That's what her doctor said to her. And she said for 2 years, she had been living in a state of denial. And she realized she had been buying clothes that were extra large when she used to be a size 10, and she couldn't bend over very well. She couldn't tie her shoes. She was having a tough time climbing stairs. And she said, I never acknowledged that I was fat. She said it was easier just to say, well, I'm getting older, that's why I'm putting this weight on. After all, you are going to get older, right? Absolutely. Well, she said she had to face the reality that she and she alone was responsible for the excess weight that was on her body. And she said it wasn't so much about the food, but food had been a pacifier for her. She was very, very lonely. She had become divorced, her children had grown up and left home, she was all alone, and so she wasn't motivated to take care of herself. She said she used all kinds of excuses for not dieting or exercising. She said, well, if I were dating, then I would do something for myself, and she came up with all kinds of excuses. We're so good as people at doing that, right? She said it was a whole bunch of ifs. If I had a friend that would diet with me, if I did this, if I did that. So she said, with that photograph, she realized that if she didn't take care of herself, she wasn't going to live very long. So she said that was a good enough reason. So one day she went into the market, and she saw a bag of potatoes. The bags of potatoes she was looking at were 10-pound bags of potatoes. And she said when she looked at those potatoes, she really related to them. She felt just like that bag of potatoes. She felt lumpy and no shape. So she buys a bag of potatoes. Oh, I know what you're thinking, but you got to hear the rest of the story. She realized that she was carrying the equivalent of 5 of these bags of potatoes, 5 extra bags. That's what she was carrying. When she bought that bag of potatoes and she took it home, she started carrying that bag of potatoes with her everywhere she went. Upstairs, downstairs, every step she took, she carried the sack of potatoes. When she sat down to watch television, she carried and put the sack of potatoes right on her lap. She said, I started eating 4 small meals a day and had nothing but fruit or water once the sun went down, and I taped the fat photo of myself on the bathroom mirror to remind me of how I never wanted to look that way again. She said, when she lost her first pound, she removed a potato from the bag. Every time she lost a pound, she'd take out a potato. When she lost 10 pounds and the bag was empty, she bought another bag of potatoes and started all over again. I think this is absolutely amazing. She did a wonderful thing. And people would ask her, what are you doing? What are you doing? She said, I'm on a potato diet. She said, I don't eat the potatoes. I carry them around. Now, so far, she's lost more than 31 pounds, which is more than half of her goal. She said she has more energy, she feels better about herself, and she's a lot happier. And she's been walking to her library, she's joined a book discussion group, and she's, well, made some new friends. She's changed her life. She said, the next time someone takes a picture of me and I look at that photo, I'm going to recognize that person because that's going to be the new me. Isn't that really amazing? Talk about changing perception and doing things differently. I think it's just great. I really have nothing but good feelings about her story. I just think, April, really, you did an incredible job, and I'm happy I'm able to share the story with you today. By the way, phone lines are open, 888-815-9756, and tomorrow we're going to be talking with Jaretta Nord, a cup of cappuccino, women entrepreneurs. We're going to be discussing. You're really going to enjoy this. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't forget, give me a call if you want to chat. 888-815-9756.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Quick like a bunny, I want to remind those of you who are in the Pacific Northwest, I'm going to be appearing at the Northwest Women's Show, and I know you're hearing the promotions regarding that. I'm very excited about this event because I've been involved with them for almost 10 years now, and it is a wonderful, wonderful event. There's well over 400 exhibitors at this wonderful happening, and I am going to be presenting a women's forum, bringing in six speakers on Friday, March the 4th, and we're going to be talking about wellness, we're going to be talking about animals, we're going to be talking about the law, domestic abuse, juvenile law, this type of thing. Also, on Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to be giving a talk on the psychic mind and you, and on Saturday, that's going to be at 1:30, on Sunday, that's going to be at 1 o'clock. So when you come in, check your programs and stop on my booth 407 because I will have an abundance of books. This is the time of year when I have to clean out my library, and they're all going to be available if people are interested in them. And also I'll be doing mini consultations for people while I'm there. So it's a 3-day event. It is a gals event, and I want to say, come on out, bring your friends, wear comfortable walking shoes, because you will have the time of your life. It is absolutely marvelous, and I'm so pleased to be there. Do stop by booth 407 and say hello, because I'd love to meet you. I have a little bit of trivia here. Talking about beliefs today, King Charles of England, and was in the 1600s, he got the idea that if he lost his beloved black cat, it would mean a disaster for him. The cat was guarded constantly. It was not allowed just to free roam. It was watched carefully. Well, for all of that attention and that due diligence, the cat got sick, and it died. Oddly enough, King Charles I of England was right. The day after the cat died, he was arrested for treason, and not too long afterwards, he was beheaded. Ah, yes, just a little bit of history trivia there for you. Also, I wanted to share with you something that I thought was just unbelievable. We human beings seem to want to do the unusual in the most extraordinary way. I had no idea that people competed in ironing or with ironing. My thought is, if you don't have to iron something, that's a good thing. Well, apparently, there was, in 2006, people that really were involved with the extreme sport of ironing. Oh, yes, it's a sport. Mm-hmm. And they press clothing in dangerous environments. There was a woman, Louise Trevas of London, England, that, as it was said, plunged to new depths during this competition in August of 2006 by taking her ironing board and iron to 452 feet underwater at the Red Sea Resort of Dahab. She ironed a T-shirt, and she had to spend almost another 3 hours in the water carrying out decompression stops in order to avoid the bends. Nobody says whether she won a prize or not for doing this. I like to think she did. But can you imagine? Not me. Nope, I'm not in love with ironing. That's the last thing I want to do. Then I wanted to share with you something that was done in California. This is real stuff. There was a flock of 20 pigeons wearing cell phone backpacks that were employed to monitor California air pollution. Each pigeon carried a cell phone with a satellite tracking chip and an air pollution sensor, enabling data on air quality to be transmitted via text messages. Ah, yes, we are living in the 21st century. Are you aware that they have come up with a design that is like a hummingbird-style design for spying? Yeah, they've done that. They've got a camera now that you can swallow where they, instead of having to go through these colostomies, then you're going to be able, they'll be able to get a picture, inside picture view of your insides, and it'll expel the camera. They don't talk about the collection process on that one, but that's okay. That's happening now. We are just in an amazing era. And another thing that I wanted to share with you is that in Munich, Germany, and I've got a picture of this in front of me, a Lego aircraft carrier was built. It was a scale model of the USS Harry S. Truman aircraft carrier. He used more than 3,000 Legos. 300,000, not 3,000, 300,000 Legos. Took him a year to create this masterpiece, and it is a masterpiece. It also has electric lights on the flight deck as well as inside the individual aircraft on the deck. And this amazing man, Mal Hawking, included movable elevators and radar dishes. And this aircraft carrier, when I look at it, I mean, it is a masterpiece, absolutely. It's 14 feet 10 inches long, 4 feet 6 inches wide, and 3 feet 11 inches tall, and weighs more than 353 pounds. I don't know where it is, but it should be in Lego's museum because it is absolutely incredible, and it floats. That's right. It floats on water, not just sitting on a stand somewhere. It actually floats. Well, this is Donna Sebo. I know we're just about out of time. Quickly, I want to remind you, tomorrow we have a wonderful program on a cup of cappuccino. Now, Jaretta Nord and her associates have put together this wonderful, wonderful book about women entrepreneurs. We're going to be talking about women who are active today in making things happen. And then for the last day of the month, we'll be talking with Rio and the Raw Food Diet. She has got the most wonderful video. She's going to be with me on Monday. She's got the most wonderful video that I've had the opportunity to see about food preparation and other things. We'll be talking about that on Monday with her. And then we're going to be into the month of March, and next week we'll be talking in March. We're going to be talking about OB's Wisdom by Dr. Kerkorian, and then Montooth 2, The Race for the Roveland Ruby. Then we've got music on Thursday, a week from today, and then I'll be at the Women's Show that Friday. So we'll be doing a Best of Donna. This has just been a wonderful hour. Thank you all for being with me. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Watch your thinking. Be awake to your response patterns. Live your life with purpose, with meaning, and with attentiveness. You've got a lot of opportunity right in front of you. Go for it. This is Donna. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.